We tell you exactly why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win against the Dallas Cowboys and which player is going to have a record-setting day to make that happen. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to Locked On Buccaneers. On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, deputy editor of SB Nation's BucsNation.com, joined by my brilliant co-host, Mr. David Harrison, who covers your Tampa Bay Buccaneers for Sports Illustrated's BucsGameDay.com. And of course, you can follow all the action on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JRCO underscore Bucks, and at DHarrison82.
Thanks again for making the Locked On Bucks podcast your first view or your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up 10 times your money on any entry. First time users, you can get a 100% deposit, is an instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. James, come in here. Usually Monday we're talking about game results, and quite honestly, usually you're alone. But we have a game Monday night, so we are actually together, and we are going to do our final preview of this Buccaneers Dallas Cowboys Super Wild Card Weekend finale game. The final Buccaneers injury report dropped on Saturday, and officially ruled out for this game is nobody, which is great news. However, that doesn't mean that the Buccaneers are out of the woods. Doubtful for this game. Tight end Kyle Rudolph, massive loss possibly happening right there. Offensive guard, lineman slash backup center Nick Leverett. Now, that's obviously where the concerning information comes in from this final injury report. James, what are your thoughts on the final designation for Kyle Rudolph, to be fair as well? I know I joke, but I don't mean to be disrespectful, but also especially for Nick Leverett.
Yeah, I mean, all due respect to Kyle Rudolph, this team can be just fine if he's inactive. Why do I say that? Because he's been a healthy scratch the majority of the season. You still have Kate Otten, you still have Cam Brate, you still have Co-Keeft. It's fine. It's whatever. It's a bummer, but it's whatever. With Nick Leverett, you are losing the guy who filled in for a struggling Luke Goedeke for most of the season. And stepped up and played great at that starting guard position. Then Hainsey goes down, and he plays pretty well as the center, you know, the third string center. So if you don't have Nick Leverett, now all of a sudden a already scary Dallas Cowboys pass rush becomes even scarier. Why? Because Luke Goedeke was not very good. And we have no reason to believe that all of a sudden, while sitting on the sideline, he has become a starting caliber guard. So you hope that Nick Leverett wakes up Monday morning and is like, you know what? I can do this. I can go. I'm going to be a part of this offensive line, and I'm going to help protect the GOAT. Outside of that, though, David, players that were listed as questionable, Carlton Davis, Mike Edwards, Robert Hainsey, John Molshon, Carl Nassib, Keanu Neal, Logan Ryan, Donovan Smith, Vita Vea. That's a whole lot of players, but you know, if I was a betting man, I would say that every single one of those guys is suited up and playing Monday night.
I think obviously the concern here on the questionable list, it's got to start with Vita Vea, right? I think it's kind of hard, to be quite honest with you, actually, because you can make a case for Carlton Davis, you can make a case for Mike Edwards, you can make a case for Donovan Smith and Vita Vea. So, I mean, they're all kind of like one alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, you know what I mean? But I think first and foremost, Vita Vea, just because defense wins championships and that disruptive factor there in the middle of the defensive line is obviously what you need, but also Carlton Davis, because I mean, CD Lamb, you know, he did do a lot of great things in their final regular season game against Washington Commanders. But when the Cowboys did do things, usually CD Lamb was the guy getting involved. And then you look at Mike Edwards, we've seen what this secondary looks like. The more they have to rely on their backups, especially their backup safeties, the more likely a team that probably shouldn't be scoring points is going to be scoring points. You go back to the Rams game, you go back to the Saints game. Those are both games where having to turn to your depth as starters in the secondary really bit the Buccaneers' defense in the high end quarters. But, of course, center Robert Hainsey is the name that I think everybody's coming in looking for, because not a whole lot of people expect Ryan Jensen to play in this game. We are going to talk a little bit about Ryan here at the end of the segment, because he's not, since he's not on the active roster, he's activated to part to practice. We've kind of covered this already, but because he's not actually on the active roster, he also doesn't get an injury designation. So right now, what we do know is that his practice is kind of ramped up and he's been pretty consistently working during practice throughout the week, but we don't know if the Buccaneers are actually going to activate him for Monday night's game.
Yeah, it's certainly concerning all the way around, but you take a look at the other side of the field and you take a look at the Dallas Cowboys. Trayvon Mullen is out for this game. Micah Parsons missed practice on Saturday. It was a personal non-injury, probably a sick day, because the thought of facing Tom Brady is probably making him a little queasy, and there might have been a little bit of vomiting and nausea and issues there. So Micah Parsons, 100% non-factor on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons, you know, I don't think anybody has any question that he's going to play, but, you know, the fact that he didn't miss the final practice for the playoff game means that whatever that personal non-injury thing is, you know, pretty serious. You hope his family's okay. But, yeah, you know, for him to miss the final practice before a playoff game, that's got to mean something. That's got to be a pretty big deal. So, I mean, and the reality of things is, if he's distracted, that could certainly impact his play. Of course, it could also elevate his play. We've seen that as well from players throughout history. Trayvon Mullen by himself, not a huge, you know, absence for the Dallas Cowboys, but the fact they're now going to have one less person to rotate through, one less person. Like, if you have a guy who's getting worked that you know, I'm going to talk about later in this episode, you're not going to be able to pull him, maybe, you know, to put Trayvon Mullen out there and let's pull him, give him a breather type of deal. So, I mean, it's significant just because you want all your depth as much as you can. Now, let's get to the final part of this conversation. The thumbnail is obviously about Ryan Jensen and Tom Brady reuniting. So that's the conversation here. What are your final expectations for Ryan Jensen heading into this game only, you know, and then on top of that, I want you to answer the question posed by Zach Blobner on Twitter. If you guys haven't seen it, he posed the question, what if Ryan Jensen is healthy? So first of all, give me if you think he's even going to be healthy enough to play. But then if he is, what if, because Nick Leverett is potentially missing this game, they actually put Ryan Jensen in at left guard and keep Robert Hainsey at center?
My final impression going into the game Monday night is that Ryan Jensen is not going to play. I think if that was a situation that was going to happen, we probably would have heard about it by now. Now, maybe the Bucs are keeping it close to the vest and, you know, a little bit of gamesmanship and not letting, you know, the Dallas Cowboys know what they're about to be up against. But I don't get the feeling that Ryan Jensen is indeed going to play this week. As far as what Zach said on Twitter, if you're going to have Ryan Jensen in, you're going to line him up at center. I don't see a world where they keep Hainsey at center and move Jensen to guard. If anything, they would put Jensen at center and move Hainsey to guard, given that was the position that Hainsey played at Notre Dame. And I don't honestly know if Ryan Jensen has ever played center or played guard. He's always been a center and an all-pro one at that. So I don't think you move him kind of on a whim in that situation, especially in the playoff game.
Yeah, look, I don't expect Ryan Jensen to play either, but I will say this, the knee injury that Ryan Jensen suffered and the status of it and the health of him and the recovery and all that stuff, one of the best kept secrets in the National Football League this season. So I would not pull it, you know, I would not take it away from the Buccaneers to think that he's fully healthy and he's going to come back for this wild card weekend and not let it be known outside the facility. That, to me, that would actually be the smartest thing to do, because I do think Ryan Jensen completely changes the makeup of this offensive line, not just from a play per stance, which he obviously does from a play stance as well, but just from a personality standpoint. Like, that offensive line gets probably three notches more aggressive with Ryan Jensen on the field, no matter where he's playing. Because I know Zach tweeted that thinking, like, man, some people are probably going to come at me and call me crazy. Look, that's not a crazy idea, to be quite honest with you. Putting Ryan Jensen out there as the left guard versus the center for his first game back, especially because of the limited practice time. Because remember, Robert Hainsey has been the center all year long. Tom Brady talked about it last week, the unique relationship between center and quarterback. And I get that Jensen and Brady have extensive experience together snapping the ball, but they don't have that experience this year. And they don't have that experience on Ryan Jensen's recovered knee, right? I don't know the full extent of his treatment, but like, Ryan Jensen coming back might be a little bit of a different Ryan Jensen than we've seen before. So it might actually be advantageous for him to line up, get out of some stances without also having to worry about putting the ball in the right place, especially in shotgun under pressure with Micah Parsons breathing down your neck. It's actually, It sounds a little crazy off the top, but I think Zach stumbled into something. I honestly think it's a little bit genius, and I would actually not be mad at seeing it. Now, I fully expect that if he does play and start, and they expect him to play all day, that yes, Ryan Jensen will probably start at the center. I agree with that, but I would not be mad. You know, hindsight 2020, but I will say beforehand, if it does happen, I'm not mad about it. If it goes wrong and it happens, I will not sit here and say, I knew they shouldn't have done that. But, you know, it was an interesting tweet that we saw. So I definitely wanted to bring that up here on this final episode.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And a lot of eyes are going to be on Ryan Jensen's status all day on Monday. The Bucks have until 4 o'clock to activate him for that game. If he's not activated for that game, there's still the potential he could be activated by Wednesday at the end of his 21-day window. Should the Buccaneers win, he would be able to play in the divisional round. But we're going to tell you what we are confident in and what we are concerned about coming up in just a moment. Prize Picks is one of our wonderful, fantastic sponsors of this episode. And look, it's super easy. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, and you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you against the projections available. And they offer projections on any sport that you can watch. The NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's and women's college basketball, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, Euro basketball, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They offer safe and fast withdrawals, and they are currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Just don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100.
Today's episode of Locked On Bucks is also brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual, so when it's not working for you, it's normal sometimes to feel stuck. As the world's largest therapy service, they match millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. All the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with the therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. No questions asked. Couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless search for the right therapist. Get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's betterhelp.com/lockedon. Thanks again for making the Locked On Bucks podcast first listener, your first view every single day. Make sure you also subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast and get daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories, plus in-depth analysis on the biggest games with NFL key predictions every Friday and Monday. Local insiders cover the weekend with game-to-game episodes, Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. James, this wildcard weekend has been insane. Wildcard is a good phrase for it, and it's also been a wild recording on this episode. You all don't see it or hear it, but this episode has not gone smoothly in the recording booth for James Jarko and myself. But that's okay. We're going to keep plugging along. Last thing about Ryan Jensen, we kind of talked about this before we recorded. A little bit of a crazy idea. Talk about gamesmanship. I'm just going to drop this. If I'm the Buccaneers, if I'm Todd Bowles, I'm activating Ryan Jensen at 4 o'clock on Monday. I'm activating him. And if he's not ready to play yet, an hour and a half before kickoff, I'll just make him inactive. Because here's the thing. Ryan Jensen, when he's activated, when he's actually put on the active roster, there's got to be a roster move made. Someone's got to come off the active roster. Well, guess what? You're going to have inactive players for the game anyway. So unless every single one of your inactive players is inactive because of injury, so they're going to be inactive anyway. If you've got a guy that's going to be healthy scratch, guess what? When you activate Ryan on Tuesday or Wednesday, that's the guy you're probably dropping off your active roster, right? Drop him Monday afternoon because you're not going to play him anyway. Activate Ryan Jensen. Make the Cowboys go from 4 p.m. till an hour and a half before kickoff, thinking Ryan Jensen's probably going to play, and then an hour and a half before kickoff, make him a scratch, and he doesn't play anyway, but you made the Dallas Cowboys dance a little bit on game day. That's what I would do, and I think James agrees with me because he's not saying anything. Moving into what we're confident in about this game. No, the buzzer has always run out, James. You don't have any time to argue. I'm confident, James, that the Dallas Cowboys will not beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, that is not a score prediction. Those of you who see James Jarque, who's very flustered that I would not let him interject in my Ryan Jensen shenanigans. However, what I mean by this is this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a better team than the Dallas Cowboys. Believe it or not, they're a better coach team than the Dallas Cowboys. The only way the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to lose this game is if they make mistakes on offense, if they blow coverage assignments on defense, or if the coaching staff makes boneheaded decisions that puts their team and their players in bad positions or does not take advantage of opportunities. That is it. When you walk away from this game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not progressing towards the divisional rounds. I am confident that it's going to be because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers messed themselves up on Monday night.
Yeah, I was on another show on Sunday and was asked about the two coaches for the Bucs and the Cowboys and if they were basically coaching for their jobs for next season. And I flat out said, I was like, well, yeah, I think Mike McCarthy is. I don't think that Todd Bowles is. We had the report from Rick Stroud over the weekend talking about win or lose. Todd Bowles is expected to be back in Tampa next season. But they asked me, you know, which side of the field would I take between the two coaches? And I said, honestly, I lean more towards Todd Bowles. Mike McCarthy has had, you know, ample opportunities over the course of the last decade plus since winning a Super Bowl with Green Bay, and he's just flat out not been good. Dallas might see an opportunity to get Sean Payton, but yeah, I'm with you. I will take Todd Bowles over Mike McCarthy. And I honestly,
what if, real quick?
Oh no. No,
what if
you didn't let me interject on the Jensen thing? I'm not letting you interject here.
I'm not interjecting. I'm adding. This is not an interjection. This is an addition.
This is rude, is what this is.
It is rude. What if this is going to be more rude for Mike McCarthy? So Mike McCarthy, when he was fired from the Green Bay, was he fired or just not recent? I don't know, whatever. When he left the Green Bay Packers, was replaced by Matt LaFleur, right?
Yes.
What if the Dallas Cowboys get rid of McCarthy? Make an attempt at Sean Payton, because if McCarthy's not back, they're at least going to make an attempt at Sean Payton. I don't know if it works out, but they're at least going to make the attempt, right? But it fails, and instead they hire Mike LaFleur to be their next head coach. How much would the McCarthy-LaFleur blood feud family drama kick up at that point?
I let you interject for that. This is.
I thought that was awesome. Anyway.
Also confirmed, David said to cut Kyle Trask to activate Ryan Jensen. I am confident in the Buccaneers' ability to stop Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. Look, in week one, they held the Dallas Cowboys to 71 rushing yards. And Tony Pollard was the third leading rusher on the team. Dak Prescott actually had more rushing yards than Tony Pollard. Now, I am of firm belief that Dallas finally realized the error of their ways and have featured Tony Pollard more and more because he is the best running back on that team. But what they faced in week one was a healthy Vita Vea and a healthy Akeem Hicks. And guess what the Buccaneers have Monday night? Yeah, Vita Vea is questionable. No, he got the extra week of rest. He is as healthy as he's been in quite a while. And now you have the two of them lining up together to shut down the run game. And with a healthy Vea and a healthy Hicks, making the Cowboys one-dimensional by taking away the rushing attack is going to force Dak Prescott to do Dak Prescott things, which is the polar opposite of Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things. Dak Prescott will be forced into mistakes. The Buccaneers have been extremely opportunistic over the course of the past couple of weeks. They would be opportunistic again against Dak Prescott in a one-dimensional offense. Dak is prone to turnovers. The Bucs are prone to taking the ball away. So shut down the run game, and the Bucs are going to easily win this game.
Yeah. Let me see if I can make this up for you. Madden is dropping new cards on Madden Ultimate Team on Monday. One of them is Ryan Jensen.
Oh, snap.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying. What I'm concerned about is a slow start by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers killing the mood in Raymond James Stadium. I've asked a lot of players over the last course of the season, Commanders players and Bucs players combined when I was on hand for Bucs games. And to a man, James, they love the home crowd. They love the hype. They love the cheering. But what they love a little bit more is killing the home crowd. These guys love nothing more than having a home crowd hyped up just to shut them down. Some guys even told me there's nothing better than the sound of thousands of people bummed, quiet, just dead because of what you are doing on a football field. If the Buccaneers start slow and the Buccaneers crowd gets taken out of the game because of it, that's going to fuel the Dallas Cowboys. So that's one part, just fact, and it's another part, message. The fact is, the Bucs offense doesn't come out, put points up early. The Cowboys can find life in that. The second part of that is, Bucs fans, if the Bucs offense starts slow early, keep up the energy. I don't know, go get some nachos, go get a churro, go get something. I don't even know what they serve at Ray J, to be quite honest with you. But whatever it is, get it and cheer anyway to try to negate that effect. But yeah, so that's what I'm concerned about, is that we've seen the Buccaneers often start slow before. If they do, I know for a fact these players enjoy the heck out of shutting down a home crowd. So if that happens, that could definitely give the Cowboys some energy and some opportunities that they don't really need to get for free from the Buccaneers.
To play off of that, I'm also concerned that a slow start that could quiet the Buccaneers fans will also increase the crowd noise of the Dallas Cowboy fans that are sure to be inside that stadium. I made my PSA, my plea to Bucs fans to not sell their tickets to Cowboys fans, but we know there's probably going to be about 30 to 40% Cowboys fans in that stadium because, yeah, number one, they travel so well. Yeah. Number two, they're gluttons for punishment, and they would travel to watch their team lose.
I will point this out, though, just for everybody to know, because this conversation comes up like every playoff season. The people who resell their tickets on the official resale markets have no idea who they're selling their tickets absolutely to. They have no idea if they're Bucs fans or Cowboys fans. So before you go in, like, I'm not talking about you, James, probably like anybody out there. Like, if you know, like your neighbor had tickets and sold them, and you went to the game and saw Cowboys fans sitting there, like, before you egg their house, just remember that they sold them on the official marketplace, which is the smartest and safest place to sell your tickets. They had no clue who was buying those tickets, Cowboys fan, Bucs fans, or otherwise. So just throwing that out there.
All right. What I'm concerned about is the low-hanging fruit. It's easy pickings, but you picked your concern about first, so I took it. And that is the offensive line. We don't know the status of Ryan Jensen. We don't know how healthy Robert Haynes is going to be. We don't know if Nick Leverett is going to play or not. We do know that Luke Getteke struggles. We do know that Donovan Smith has struggled this year. And the Cowboys finished the 2022 season third in the NFL in sacks with 54. And pressure can lead to mistakes. So what has all of that pressure done for the Dallas Cowboys this year? Well, they finished number one in the NFL in takeaways with 33. They finished second in the NFL in turnover margin with a plus 10. Tom Brady had one of the worst pocket time averages over the course of the NFL season. 2.2 seconds of pocket protection on average through the NFL season. That's what has led to a lot of the quick throws, a lot of the miscues, not being able to connect downfield because, quite frankly, the time has not been there. So it's going to be on the O-line to keep Micah Parsons at bay, to be able to keep Tom Brady upright and give him the time to pick apart a very weak Cowboys secondary. We are going to give our predictions coming up in just a moment. This episode of Locked On Bucs is brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all of the fat and calories? Then you've got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. But if you're like me, you want to eat healthier, but you also love sweets, then you should probably get a Built Bar. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. They're so delicious, you won't think that they're good for you. Perfect for this year's New Year's resolutions. And what makes Built Bars so good? For starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. They come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, which is my favorite, and coconut almond for you coconut lovers. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. They are good for you with only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 17 grams of protein. And now You don't have to wait for the mailman to bring you a box. For years, we've been telling you about Built.com, but now you can get them at Walmart and Sam's Club. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, my other favorite, double chocolate or coconut puffs. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, you can go grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. Wrapping things up here of a super wild card preview of the super Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the poopy Dallas Cowboys. And it is time for predictions. David, we got our bold predictions, our player predictions, our score predictions, which are already half done for those of you that have listened to Crossover Thursday. And if you haven't, go do that. But David, I'm going to kick it over to you to start things off with the bold predictions.
Yeah, this wildcard weekend has been crazy. And full disclosure, at the time of this recording, it's actually not even over. The Buffalo Bills are currently leading the Miami Dolphins 34-24 with less than 12 minutes left. Although the Dolphins are threatening to score as well to make that a even more interesting game than it's already been. Rip my gambling prospects. Because of that, here's what I'm going to predict. Here's my bold prediction. Whichever team is trailing at halftime is going to win the game. And I know it's very conflicting for all of you out there because it kind of means if I'm right, you want the Bucs to be losing at halftime and you don't want that. But at the same time, if the Bucs are winning at halftime, you're really going to hope that I'm wrong, which I'm sure you will take that over the Buccaneers losing a playoff game. But that is going to be my bold prediction for this one, James. Whoever's trailing at halftime is going to go on to play probably the Philadelphia Eagles in the next round.
I have a question. What if it's tied? I have an answer.
Then whoever's playing better. I don't know. Why do you have to be crazy? Why do you have to do this to me? I drop gems like Mike LaFleur. I drop gems like Ryan Jensen mutt cards when I don't even play Madden. Like I'm doing all this lifting over here and you just gotta poke at me.
It's a valid question. What if it's like 10-10 at halftime?
It's a bold prediction.
Whoever's wearing the white jerseys wins?
Whoever has the least amount of third down conversions. And yes, they could have the same third down. If they have the same amount of third down conversions, whoever has the fewest penalties. If they have the same amount of penalties, whoever has the fewest amount of nachos purchased per fan in the stadium at halftime, that team will win the game, James Yarko. Okay?
All right. Fair enough.
It has been said, or whatever the Mandalorian guy says.
You heard it here. For those of you listening to this while traveling to Ray J, if you are a Bucs fan, load up on nachos. That is the key to the game.
It's a tiebreaker.
My bold prediction is a little more straightforward. Chris Godwin is going to set a Buccaneers franchise record.
Which record, James?
I'm getting there.
Which record? Which record is he going to set, James?
We know that Trayvon Diggs is probably going to shadow Mike Evans for the majority of the game. And that leaves Xavier Rhodes to cover Chris Godwin. Yeah, give me Chris Godwin all day long. There have been two occasions where a Buccaneers wide receiver has caught a 119 yards worth of receptions, a franchise record for most receiving yards in a playoff game. And in both of those cases, it was Mike Evans doing the receiving. Chris Godwin is going to break that record. He will have over 130 receiving yards. Not going to predict the touchdown, but he is going to be the guy that Tom Brady relies on. He is going to be the mismatch that Brady targets all day long. Godwin is going to continue to move the sticks, move the chains, set the Bucs up for success. Huge day coming for Chris Godwin.
But what if Mike Evans breaks the record first?
Then Chris Godwin will still end up with more yards and hold the record when the game is over.
But what if they tie for the same amount of yards?
Then they both break the record.
What if Mike actually has more yards?
Then Mike would have broken the record.
Then your bold prediction's wrong. The Dallas Cowboys defensive back that nobody's talking about, James, is Anthony Brown. But I'm hoping that at the end of this game, everybody's talking about Anthony Brown because that's my player of this game. I do my player of the game a little bit differently sometimes. Sometimes it's who I think is going to star. Sometimes I think it's who's going to make the biggest impact. And for me, I'm going with the impact, and I'm also going on the Dallas Cowboys side of things. You mentioned Xavier Rhodes, which, look, I've got way too much respect for what that guy's done in his career. More power to him, man, but good luck to you. when Anthony Brown is on the field, Tom Brady needs to know where he is. Not because he's a threat, but because that's your easy button. Anthony Brown has played 431 coverage snaps in the 2022 NFL season. In man, so even better. Tom, if they're in man, where's Anthony Brown? That's where the ball goes. In man coverage, 58 cornerbacks in the National Football League have played 431 or more coverage snaps this season, Anthony Brown being one of them. In man coverage, his PFF grade, 30.2. I don't care if you like PFF grades, 30.2, not good. Like, my coverage grade might be 29, to be quite honest with you. He's 56th of 58 NFL cornerbacks in man coverage who have played 430 or more coverage snaps this season. In zone, a little bit better, 64.8. Not terrible, not great, but not terrible. 39th of 58. Anthony Brown, whenever he's on the field, throw the ball to that guy. Well, not Brown, but the guy he's going up against.
Yeah. Is there any relation to Larry Brown? That
if there is, Larry's probably disowned him by now.
As he should. Granted, Larry Brown had one good game. It just happened to be Super Bowl 30. And then he went
to got paid too
for a lot of money and was terrible. My predictive player of the game, you'd think, well, James, you just predicted Chris Godwin to set a franchise record. Obviously, that's your player of the game. Nope. It's the resurgence of Playoff Lenny. That's right. It has taken us 18 weeks to get to this point, but Playoff Lenny is walking down that entrance ramp, climbing into the ring, and is going to layeth the smacketh down on the Dallas Cowboys in week one. Leonard Fournette, 127 yards on 21 carries for 6.05 yards per carry. With the Bucs, he averages 4.5 yards per carry in the playoffs. What is the best way to attack an overly zealous pass rush? You run right
around to Scotty Miller.
Let those pass rushers come right by you and then run down the lanes that they have created because they're trying to get after number 12. Leonard Fournette is going to be the guy that puts this team on his back, controls the tempo, controls the pace of play, helps move the chains along with Chris Godwin, and is going to have a big day. I will predict a Leonard Fournette touchdown in this one.
You just like predicting things because eventually something's going to come true.
It's so much fun.
Like, one of them will happen and then you're going to be like, that's the one.
I mean, if I go 50% on predictions, I'm happy.
If I go 10% on predictions, I'm happy. I got to pull up Bet Online real quick because I did not look up the line as of Sunday on this game before we start recording. Cowboys still favored by 2.5. That is what it was when I made my score prediction for the crossover Thursday. And I predict the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will trail at halftime, but they will win 27-24 over the Dallas Cowboys, and they will not get Sean Payton because Sean Payton doesn't like Dak Prescott.
I don't know.
Mike LaFleur might like Dak Prescott. I don't know.
I mean, if you're Sean Payton, are you taking Dallas with Dak or Denver with Russell Wilson? I might lean Dallas.
Neither. Neither.
It doesn't matter.
I'm taking CBS booth with Tony Romo.
He's going to coach the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I see that going around too. More on that in the offseason.
Yeah, we will get to a coaching breakdown at some point. Look, the Dallas Cowboys have been a very good football team all year. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been an absolute roller coaster. Sometimes they look great. Sometimes they look terrible. Sometimes they look like none of them know what they are doing on a football field. All of that goes out the window. I started talking about it on last Monday's episode. All of it goes out the window. Everybody is 0-0, except for Tom Brady, who is 7-0 against the Dallas Cowboys. Tom Brady, who is 4-0 as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer underdog in the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys with the blue jersey jinx. We'll see if that holds. I believe that it does. The Bucs are going to take an early lead off the leg of Ryan Succop, and it will never be relinquished. Dak Prescott, 2 turnovers. Bucs win 23-13.
Either way means that we're talking Bucs ball next week.
Yeah, we are. We're talking Victory Tuesday. Make sure you check us out on the post-game reaction show live on YouTube. Yes, It will be late. We appreciate all of you that can join us. For those that can't, it'll be on the podcast feed on Tuesday morning. But we want to thank all of you once again for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view of the day. For your second listen, check out Locked On NFL Podcast, bringing you the local insights you love to the national spotlight with daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Again, we will be live on YouTube following the game. But of course, you can always check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com, over at BucksGameDay.com. Follow everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JRCO_Bucks, and at DHarrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.